The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
My name is Heidi.
My name is Kieran.
My name is Andrew Fitzpatrick.
Bears Hopium Den, our summer podcast series on the Windy City Gridiron Podcast Network. I'm Jeff Berkus. I'm your host in this series. This is episode 3, and I'm really excited to share this conversation with you guys. This is a conversation that I had with three fans that aren't from the United States of America. They are fans from around the world, and I think this is it's a really fun and kind of fascinating aspect of the NFL. The NFL really, I feel like when I was growing up, the NFL was much more of a U.S. sport. It was just something that people in the U.S. were into, which isn't true. It was still popular in some circles across the globe. But the NFL has grown so much, not only in the U.S., but around the world. Obviously, the European games, the game in Mexico City, like those are the real visible events. But the fan bases around the world are really growing, and I just find it really cool and fascinating to meet fans from all over the country and then all over the world that really have found something in this sport. And so I gathered a few of my favorite people that I have met through various means to have a conversation about what it's like to be a fan of the NFL when you're not from the U.S. Like, how did you get into this? How did you get into this very American sport? And, you know, what's your relationship with it? And so I found three really good people to talk to. You're going to hear from Heidi, who's from Mexico. Heidi is one of the most positive and bright stars on Bears Twitter, is where I first came across her. She had some back and forth with Akeem Hicks. Like, Akeem was responding to her and saying, you know, anything for Heidi. It was really exciting to see just how much her and Akeem seemed to have some back and forth. And we've gone back and forth a few times, and really excited to have her on the podcast. You're going to hear from Kieran, who's from Ireland. You'll probably recognize him if you've ever listened to the Irish Bears show. He's the host of that. I was fortunate enough to be one of Kieran's first guests when he was getting his podcast up and running. And I've been on his show a couple of times, and a really great guy to talk football with. You can just tell his passion is just oozing out. He loves this team and loves talking about it. And finally, you're going to hear from Andrew Fitzpatrick, who's from Australia. Andrew and I became acquainted through my podcast with EJ Snyder, Bears Over Beers. He reached out to me through that podcast. We've had a lot of back and forth, and I wanted to get his perspective too, because he has a very interesting story about how he came into his Bears fandom. They all three have really interesting ties. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation. And so the title of this episode is International Fans of Mystery. And the mystery is, how do they become fans of the Chicago Bears? You're going to find all that out. So I had a lot of fun in this conversation. I'll step aside now. We'll get into it. Heidi speaks first.
I've been a Bears fan since as long as I can remember, maybe 5 or 6 years old, thanks to my dad. And I live in Acapulco, Mexico, but I'm originally from Mexico City.
Okay.
But I've been here for 24 years.
Great.
That's a town at the Pacific coast of Mexico.
Oh, perfect. So my name is Kieran. I became a Bears fan because my uncle, who was originally from Dublin, emigrated to Chicago when he was 18. So I have like 7 or 8 cousins over there. So I've, from as long as I can remember, I used to visit Chicago every winter, every summer. And all I remember is kind of going to Bears games and watching it on the TV, or if I was at Thanksgiving, watching the Thanksgiving games with my family. So even though I was born abroad, it's a very, I guess, normal way to kind of grow up. You grow up knowing it because your family has kind of indoctrinated you into the Bears fandom, and that's kind of my story.
My name's Andrew Fitzpatrick. I'm originally from Melbourne, Australia, but currently living and residing in New York. And I became a Bears fan in 2010 when I was in Miami, of all places, as part of the study abroad program. So it's been quite a journey over the last 12 years.
All right. So you guys touched on it a little bit, but I want you to have some runway to talk a little bit more about your origin story. So every superhero has an origin story. Every super fan has an origin story as well. So Heidi, you mentioned your dad got you into this. So that would be kind of your origin story, but like, just kind of expand upon that. Like, you know, what does that mean to you from where you started, and why has that carried you to today?
Oh, okay. Well, my dad actually was a Redskins fan, but he was mostly, mostly a huge NFL fan. And he had 3 daughters. And I was the only one to watch the game with him. So I grew to love NFL football too. And he called me his little oso, which is bear in Spanish. So when I realized there was a football team named named after me, because that's what I thought back then, I said, hey, this is my team. So that's how I became a Bears fan.
That's great.
Yes. But in Mexico back then, you couldn't watch even, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 games, and that was it every Sunday. So you had to watch whatever TV was showing. So I was like, and there was a time when I was a every team fan, because the Bears wouldn't play a lot in Mexico's TV. So, but after that, I started following them everywhere I could, news or different broadcasts and things. So I grew loving them a lot more. Of course, 85 Bears were the best. So that's when I grew, my love grew more for them. But that's pretty much the story. And I've been not too many games, only 4 in my life. I wish I could go every year, but it's not that easy, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. But to this time, I've been to 2 games that the Bears won, and the other 2 we lost. But I had a great time. And I think my next one will be, I don't know if I could go to Dallas this year, but if not, it's going to be Chicago next year too, because great. I love you have to be in Chicago. That was the best.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. So like I said, I kind of just grew up knowing things about the Bears, because from when I can remember, my parents tell me I was a baby when they were bringing me over to Chicago. And I always remember the story of being like a 3 or 4 year old, like marching down the aisles of the airplane, singing Bear Down. And I literally had all the flight attendants laughing. And yeah, so I think my first recollection of a Bears game, I think I was 4, and we went to the Bears against the Oakland Raiders at the time. I think it was about just after my birthday, so it was probably the end of September. And all I can remember from it was that the Bears won, and it was pretty cold. But yeah, and really since then, just every single winter that we get to go, we'd always try and either get to a game or have all the family meet up and be able to just kind of hang out and watch. And it's kind of something I associated with Chicago, that anytime I went during the summer, I tried to get to a Bulls game. Anytime I went into winter, I tried to get to a Bears game. And yeah, it's kind of just gone on from there to the point of when I was in school here in Ireland, I used to kind of talk about the NFL to a bunch of people in my year group, because again, it wasn't really big at that time. You knew who the NFL fans were. Now it's much larger. Like, everybody knows about the NFL over here now. You can't walk down into town in Dublin and not see an NFL jersey somewhere. There's pubs here specifically for watching NFL games. But yeah, like at the time we were just talking about, like, you knew who was a Bears fan, who was a Patriots fan, who was a Colts fan at the time. And I think one of the first times I remember in school being able to talk about the Bears was against one of my friends who was a Colts fan, and it was the year that the Bears made the Super Bowl. So it was a lot of rivalry that year, but obviously it wasn't the best ending. But yeah, like for me, like I said, while I live quite far away, it was very, I guess, normal for me, because I'd come back every single year, talk to the same people about the team. So even though you're kind of far away, you're still keeping up to date. But yeah, I think where my fandom started, where like the crazy fan in me that like is invested in everything to do with the Bears, including the draft, was, I think it was the year that the Bears took Cedric Benson in the draft, because all I remember is my uncle coming back to Dublin for like the first time in like 15 or 16 years, and him going, "God damn, Bears took a running back so early on in the draft." And I'm like, "Oh, who?" And he mentioned, I remember just like looking him up the whole time. And yeah, from there, I think that was a point in time where over here the NFL started getting bigger. So they started showing like the highlights of it every single week on Sky Sports, and then it started to get to where you could watch specific games, and then Game Pass became better, where we could watch essentially any single game you wanted. And since that's kind of been the case, I don't think I missed a game, even if there was a game that started at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and like still have to do it, still have to watch it. I remember being in work, working at a bar, and having my phone in the corner watching Bears games, even though I knew we were going to lose the game. But yeah, that's kind of me, like very similar to most Bears fans, in terms of you kind of grow up into it because everybody else in your family is, and it's something that I use to kind of keep me connected to all the people I knew in Chicago at the time. So I try and get over there as much as I can. And I didn't get to go the last 2 years. The last game I got to go to was against the Raiders in London, but me and a bunch of the guys from the podcast are actually going to be going to Chicago in October for Thursday Night Football against the Washington Commanders. Still a stupid name, but still, that's what we're planning on doing this year.
Andrew, so you mentioned you came over on a study abroad program. You're down in Miami,
that's right.
But somehow you got to talk. You got to be obsessed with the Bears, and I know the answer, but I want you to tell that story.
Yeah, sure. So, like I mentioned earlier, I studied abroad as part of an international program, ended up at the University of Miami, and kind of before that, didn't really have any interest or much of an understanding of kind of American football or gridiron, as we call it in Australia. Pretty quickly realized after going to a few tailgates that, you know, they're kind of the best thing in the world. So got super into college football pretty quickly, and was fortunate that I had a roommate who wrote for, in some capacity, for a student paper, like the sporting stuff in the student paper. So he'd sit next to me and explain all the rules to me, you know, like what third and two means, you know, what the hell a fair catch is and all that kind of stuff. So that was really helpful in kind of getting up to speed quickly on the game. And then kind of the Dolphins weren't very good, so I was kind of kicking around for a team to support. And through him, I got introduced to Devin Hester, watching kind of his highlights on YouTube. So then kind of, you know, put two and two together, and, you know, he was obviously at Chicago at the time in 2010. So started following the Bears, and then I ended up in Chicago for my first American Thanksgiving through a really good lifelong friend of mine that I made through playing water polo at Miami. his family invited me and about eight other Australians over to Chicago for Thanksgiving. That was like the first time a lot of us had seen snow and seen, you know, that kind of Midwest winter. And his mother, who's a wonderful person, they run a restaurant in Chicago called the Wildwood Tavern, like a sports bar. I'd never met her before in my life, but she kind of picked us up from the airport and had that Devin Hester Bears jersey kind of waiting for me. So that was it. After that, you know, locked it in and went back to Australia. It was a little bit tricky watching from Australia, like the noon games. The noon games in Chicago were 2 a.m. on a Monday morning. So that was a little bit rough, but I used to get up. Fortunately, we had, you know, a back room at home, so I could get up and not annoy mum or dad or any of that kind of stuff. And then I actually worked in Australia for 3 years and then came back. Always wanted to move back to the States. So I got a job over here, and I was placed in Atlanta. Couldn't choose where I went. It was just where I happened to end up. And that just so happened to be the year that Devin Hester went from Chicago to Atlanta. So I was kind of in the city. He was there. Not sure how many people bought the Devin Hester Atlanta Falcons jersey you can see in the background, but I was, you know, proudly wear that around. But the Bears were always my team. So I followed them. I'm very jealous to hear that Heidi's seen two victories, because I've actually been to 9 games, including I used to, the family that I met in Chicago, one of the uncles, Uncle Lou, had a season tickets, so I used to fly back from Australia once a year to catch a game. So I went to 3 of those while I was still living in Australia. And then when I was in Atlanta, I went over to it for a few. And then since I've been in New York, I've seen the Bears a couple of times. So 9 games for 9 losses. I've kind of been told by people not to go anymore. And that includes, I went to 2 games in 2018 when they were, you know, 12-4, and they were both losses as well. It was the overtime loss to the Giants in New York. It was pouring down rain. It's when Tarik Cohen threw the touchdown to Miller. And I was in Chicago for a wedding, and it was a last minute call up to the groom's party because there was a no show. So as a thank you, the kind of my buddy who was the groom and the wife got me organized this to go to the Patriots game, you know, which we obviously lost that one as well. So yeah, Bears play twice in New York this year. I plan to be there, but maybe I probably shouldn't go.
Wow, that's a heck of a record to follow you around. Let's move on to the next question. So, what does this team mean to you? So, specifically, like day to day life, like, you know, you're Bears fans. You're on Bears Twitter. You know, one of you started a whole podcast channel about the Bears. You know, you interact with people and players, and you know, you've got gear, like all that stuff. Like, what does this team mean to you, like on a daily basis, on a seasonal basis, as you go through your life?
Okay, mostly for me it's like honoring my dad, because he was a huge fan of NFL football. So that's pretty much it. And I think it's, maybe there are many ways to watch other sports on TV, but now in Mexico, NFL is a big deal from some years to the day. So I am able to watch every game I want with this NFL Sunday Ticket, mm-hmm. or any streaming, but mostly NFL Sunday Ticket, because I watch all the games I can, not only Bears games. I don't know. There are many, many, many women in Mexico that like football, but not here in Acapulco. So my group of people are mostly men, actually my neighbors. Sometimes I go up and watch the games with them. But it's pretty fun to talk about football with them. And also we have this fantasy football groups. I have one from Latin American people, and the other one is only Bears fans from Mexico. That's pretty much fun. And we have a huge chat with Bears fans only. And sometimes it's like divided. There's always the positive ones, like Heidi. and some others, and the ones that are always, always angry. And it's a lot of fun. So it's a daily basis to me, because there's this chat and we talk every day. And as you know, I'm very active on Twitter. Not only Bears Talk, I talk about politics a lot. Maybe that's boring to everybody else, but that's in Spanish, so you don't have to worry about that. And actually, I have two more friends, and we're planning on making a new show with our Fanaticosos. Fanaticosos podcast is our Bears podcast in Spanish, but we're making another one with only girls only, and it's going to be fun. We're going to try to look at the humane side of every player. That's our goal, because stats, numbers, plays, that's already taken care of with every podcast we know. So we're going to try to do this different thing about the human side of every player. So that's our project. We're going to start maybe in June, and it's going to be in Spanish, but I hope it's going to be a good one.
It's great.
So yes, I wear something every day. Even my car's keychain, everything is Bears here. I am the only one at home that watches the football. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm very lonely here. So that's why I'm always on Twitter.
We'll have to get you up to Chicago. So Kiaran, what about you? Like, again, the game, big part of your life, you know, you've made this into a side hustle to some extent. So what about you? What does this team mean to you, like, on a day-to-day basis?
I talk about this team way, way too often, even with the people that have no idea about the NFL. Like, you probably know yourself, it's, I guess, when you talk about the team, you are preparing to do shows, you're doing all this kind of extra work, but it's stuff that you really enjoy. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Bears. It's everything that I do, it's because it's enjoyment. And for me, it's just one of those that the reason we started was we wanted to make sure that kind of fans around the world, and no matter what type of fan, like Heidi said it, there's going to be fans that are really positive. There's going to be fans that are really negative. And what we try and do is get into the middle somewhere so everybody can enjoy a podcast. We try and get as many people involved. We try and listen to people to know kind of what they want to hear about. Because it's at the end of the day, it's our favorite team. Like, we're not the, like, none of us are going to be on kind of whatever it is, ChicagoBears.com, where you have to do everything associated with what the team wants. This is, I try and do it for kind of what us as fans want. And like you're saying, this question is really good, that for most people that become Bears fans, this team means everything to them. Like, I have two of my cousins in America, for example. I have a group chat with them, right? And they're the two most opposite people. So one is negative about everything. Doesn't matter. Like, it was the typical one where he may have been, where one of them was like, we need to get a quarterback last year in the draft. And same guy is, once they get Justin Fields, like, oh, another Ohio State quarterback. Gonna be terrible. Like, it's so typical. And then the other one is very kind of even keeled and just like, let's just wait and see how it is. So it's using that and seeing how that happens is what we try and do for this show, is kind of make sure that, I guess, everybody's represented. And that's why I think this question is important, because you hear from us three now and you wouldn't expect anything less to say, like, this team means a lot to people. You wear your Bears gear with pride. Like, there's a group of people that go and travel to Chicago from all around the world every single year because they love the team. Like, we all have different stories, but at the same time, everybody wants what's best for the Chicago Bears. Maybe people want it in different ways, but again, we all kind of come to the same conclusion. And that's all I can kind of say here, that the reason why I wanted to start it is, honestly, the first part of it was had a couple of friends that we'd always talk about Bears in text, and we're like, let's just do a show and just be able to kind of shoot the crap and just talk about the Bears, and people just started to enjoy it. So we just kind of continued it on from there. So, and I think there's a lot of Bears fans that feel the same. And that's what we've kind of heard over the last year or so, where we get some feedback from people where that's where we always try and read out everybody's comments, because we're like, it's really important to hear from what this team means to everybody, because we all think it means one thing, but then you hear another story, and it's I find that really interesting, because like we've three different people, right? One from Mexico, one from Ireland, one from Australia, and all in different ways come together, and while have a different story, still have the same love for this team, and it's really good to see. And like that, I think that's what it means to me, is that it's kind of that togetherness. And for me, it goes back to kind of your first question, was it's what kind of gave me my link back to my family in Chicago. So again, it for me, it means quite a lot, because it's both personal, but also it's my favorite sports team.
Andrew, what about you? I'm curious, you know, newer fan, right? You don't have a childhood connection to this. You made this connection as an adult, and obviously through a certain, you know, a specific favorite player, and you don't have a podcast that I know about. So there's that, but I know that you're a big supporter of podcasts. Obviously you have an excellent shirt on to prove that as well. So, so what about you? What does this team mean to you?
Yeah. Great question, JB, and really well answered by Heidi and Kieran. I hope I can kind of follow up after those two. I'd love to hear kind of, Kieran, about your podcast. I don't follow enough Bears content as it is. I could definitely make room for some more. But yeah, I guess it's like similar to kind of what's already been covered. It's definitely, even though it's more recent, it's definitely kind of part of my identity now, being a Bears fan. You know, it's something that I chose, and there's a lot of kind of Australians back home, you know, follow the Patriots because they like Tom Brady, right? Kind of proud to have, you know, had my own story for actually, and a connection to the Bears, and it's definitely became part of my identity. And you know, whenever I go home or whenever I see someone on the street, you know, someone will always kind of add some Bears news or some Bears banter, because you know they know how closely I follow it and how much of it I consume. A good example is, you know, I like that people think about me that way. And like, you know, when you're watching Monday Night Football, the Steelers game, and my phone's blowing up because, you know, all my buddies, you know, from Australia or in, you know, in the US or whatever, they're obviously all watching the game, and everyone's texting me to say how bad the refereeing's doing, right? Like, everyone kind of thinks about me when they think about Chicago. So I guess that's kind of something that, you know, I'm pretty happy I've ended up in that place. And then it's just all like, there's always more news coming out, right? Like the NFL does such a good job at kind of controlling the fixture. There's only a couple of weeks a year. I'm sure you guys know this, you know, better than I do, because you cover it. So, you know, there's always something, whether it's a schedule release or the draft or, you know, the undrafted rookie signing. So it's kind of one of those things where it never gets boring, because there's always new information coming out. And even now with like the change in kind of administration and coaching, you know, games are exciting again for a different reason, right? Like, we're not trying to win a Super Bowl this year. We may, fingers crossed, but, you know, we're building, and there's like a whole different kind of feel around that. But there's always something. So that's kind of how I'd sum it up.
This one's easy. And I know part of two of your answers. Well, at least I think. But I want you to tell me who your favorite player is, either all time. So anybody, if you want to say Bronco Nagurski, who played in the 1930s, is your favorite player, that's fine. Like, but generally probably somebody that you watched, you know, someone that you've read about and that you really like, you know, maybe highlights or whatever. But I also want you to tell me on the current roster, and Heidi, this is an important distinction. They have to have an active contract with the Chicago Bears as of this moment. So your answer for current roster cannot be Akeem Hicks. But let's start with you. Who's your all-time favorite player and your current roster favorite player?
Hey. Okay. I'm going to try. No, my all-time favorite player has to be, of course, Sweetness.
Okay.
Walter Payton. And the reason is everybody knows, but also being too difficult to watch games and back then here in Mexico, he was so famous I could get I could reach him everywhere, news, books, movies, everything. So and everybody knows who he is, and he has to be forever the best player. Very a complete athlete. So that's the main reason. And my current player, it has to be Justin Fields, because okay. he is so strong-minded that I know that he can go past, he can leave the past year behind and then prove everybody that he's the elite quarterback we are waiting for. We need. So and I like him a lot. So
well, there'll be a question about Fields later, but I do want to ask you specifically about Akeem Hicks. So you seem to have had a nice relationship with Akeem Hicks online. He interacted with you at least once, if not multiple times. You were clearly leading the charge as probably president of his fan club. So, like, tell us a little bit about what attracted you so much to Akeem Hicks, the person.
I love how he speaks, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
He speaks, I don't know, he's a very nice person. He's an amazing human being. He does good things for everybody. And he's always true to himself. And again, very well-spoken guy. He's very passionate. His passion is amazing. It makes everybody feel as passionate as him. And he interacts. He used to interact a lot on Twitter with me many, many times. He called me his best friend, his family. And he actually said once that nobody has to question our relationship. And I was like, oh my God, are we in a relationship? It's all fun. It's all fun. I like him very much. But mostly his passion. That's the thing I love about him. And he's a great player and a great leader and a friend to everybody. Great. You can see that, how he treats all his guys when they leave the Bears to go everywhere else. He still roots for them, and it's like a dad in a way for them. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's just all fun.
I love it. Kieran, what about you? Have all-time favorite player, and then somebody on the current roster. Who you got?
This one's tough, because I think everybody would say Sweetness when it comes to all-time favorite, but I'm gonna go past that, because that would be my number one. But just to do a little bit different, for watching the team growing up, I think the player that gave me kind of the most excitement growing up was probably Peanut Tillman. It was just one of those that it's like that quick play, peanut punch, and everybody just goes ballistic. And that kind of electricity, there's not a lot of players that were able to do that. Obviously, likes of like Devin Hester on kick returns and stuff, we had that, but there wasn't too much other than that. Like, obviously there was some really good defenses, but a lot of it kind of came because of turnovers, and he was one of the main guys that was able to do that. So that's why I would say him, in terms of just, I guess recent past, I'll say, like, overall, when you go back, I think it's very hard for people not to pick Walter Payton, just because of how great he was. And he kind of, even I guess around the world, he put the team on the map. Like, I talked to my mom, who has no idea about anything to do with the Chicago Bears, but she knows about Walter Payton. And so, like, there's things like that. But now it's very similar to Heidi, just because I've been an Ohio State fan for the last 10 years or so. And I think from the first show on our podcast, I think I was just like, Bears need to go get Justin Fields. Bears need to go get Justin Fields. So I think I would be lying on the show if I tried to come up with a different answer, because it's by far Justin Fields. I think I already have like four jerseys and it's only been a year. So like it's definitely wow. One of those. Yeah. I have like the orange, the white, and two blues. So yeah.
The white or the throwback?
The throwback.
Okay. Good to know. Andrew, I've got a pretty good idea on who your all-time favorite player is.
But Robbie
I
Gold.
I don't know who your current roster guy is.
Yeah, no surprises for all-time tester. Like everyone talks about, is that I watch a lot of sport and a lot of different sports. There's never has there been another thing where it's like they're punting, put everything down and just watch the screen. You know, it's just, it was such a cool feeling. And I kind of caught the tail end of his career. But, you know, I think my YouTube algorithm's broken from the number of times I've watched that Super Bowl kick return, right? Like, I'll have a few beers and I'll just sit down on the couch and watch it a couple of times. It's pretty sweet. And then the current player, I'm all in on Roquan Smith. I actually think, I think I mentioned it to you, JB, I think he's a very good value pick for Defensive Player of the Year this year. So I've already had a little bit of a dabble online just because, you know, underneath the new coach and the new system, he's kind of been so close so many times. He's got the statistics to kind of back it up. And he's in a contract year, right? So he's super motivated. So I just feel like this could be a really good, really good year for Roquan, and kind of calling that out to anyone that'll listen, you know, before he starts blowing up.
I'm going to move on to your game day ritual. So Heidi, you say you watch with people in your area, that you know, your friends in the building complex. Are you watching like on your couch, or are you going to a specific bar? Do you wear the same thing? Are you superstitious, right? Like, I wore this and they won last week, so I'm going to wear it again, like that kind of stuff. What kind of rituals and where do you watch games?
I'm pretty much I'm pretty much inconsistent.
Okay.
I watch at home because my friends are not Bears fans, so they are probably watching their games at the same time. So I watch at home, and I inconsistent is the word. I wear sometimes I wear a jersey. If things are not going well, I just take it off and put another one on, or just a t-shirt or a hat. But no, I don't have a ritual. It has to be something Bears on me, but it changes a lot. Sometimes I just put on some retired player jersey on, or also always something to drink on a Bears cup, and that's pretty much it. Because again, I watch alone on a couch, but I scream a lot. So my neighbors know I am watching football. My neighbors from two blocks from here, maybe. Everybody knows I laugh a lot. Everybody knows I scream. And sometimes I cry, sadly. Yeah, but I've cried a lot.
Yeah.
But no ritual,
okay,
per se. Just wearing something and having fun every game. Every game. I don't care if they are doing awful. I watch every game I can. Sometimes I'm out and I can't watch because I'm on a family something or at the beach or anything. But if I'm watching the game, I have to be there. I don't care if they are 0-11. I'm going to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Karen, what about you? Got any rituals?
I actually do. And it's evolved over time. So when I was younger, because I used to get a couple of jerseys each year. I used to have a home and away one, and based on what the Bears are wearing is what I would wear. So that was one. And then now my fiance is a Patriots fan. It's weird. She's from New York, and yet she's a Patriots fan. It doesn't compute in my head. But I always do a fist bump with her before any Bears game. Have to do it, and it's just one of those little things. But yeah, I watch most of the games on my couch because I'm a very animated fan. I don't like watching in silence. I'm very into it. nobody would, like, our channel would have gotten deleted if I was on it live while Cody Parkey was taking that kick, because it was not a fun time. I think, like, at that time I was living in an apartment complex, I'd say, and we were on like the sixth floor. I think the people on the ground floor probably heard me when that kick hit the post. So yeah, it's kind of the simple stuff. I kind of watch on my couch, get your normal, like, either wings or pizza, and just try and enjoy the game. I'm usually way more animated at the beginning and the middle of the season. By the end, the Bears have usually crushed my hopes, and I'm just like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, that's really me when it comes to Bears games. So yeah, I prefer watching Bears games at home and being able to kind of listen to what's going on. If I'm going to, like, if I'm going to watch a playoff game or something, I'll probably go to the pub and watch it and be with a bunch of friends that all support different teams and do it that way. But yeah, for Bears games, I prefer the comfort of my own living room.
Andrew, what about you? Rituals, watching games with friends or alone, or, you know, do you scare your friends when you're watching games?
Just real quick on the double doink. I didn't go to work the next day. And no one said anything. It was the same thing. I just didn't go to work. I was like, whoop, no, I just need to be alone for a little while. But moving on, I've been pretty lucky, I guess, that the last 5 or 6 years I've been in New York, I've lived with two of my best mates, who just happen to be Australian as well. So, you know, what it's like, move across the other side of the world to live with two guys from home. But we all moved to New York at about the same time. And Kieran Dwyer and Paul Morello are their names. And Kieran actually played gridiron with him in Australia after I got back from Miami. He was the quarterback. So he's super into the NFL as well, Atlanta Falcons fan. And our other mate, Paul, he is a Titans fan. And the reason he's a Titans fan is because he went to Nashville and had an awesome weekend. So now he's a Titans fan. But, so we kind of, Sundays are kind of like our day, like the boys' day. So we kind of would go to a bar in New York. It's pretty sweet, as I'm sure it is everywhere else. You know, you can kind of go into a sports bar and they'll have 30 screens with 30 different games on. So we just try and get there early enough and kind of sweet talk a few people so we can have, you know, Bears, Falcons, Titans kind of next to each other. And that's kind of where we'll post up for Sundays. It can be a little bit awkward if anyone's playing anyone, but, you know, we tend to kind of create our own space with the yelling at the games that we do. But it's been really good fun.
One of the storylines in the offseason for sure is that the McCaskies look like they're acquiring some land in Arlington Heights. It looks like they're starting to set the plans for moving out of Soldier Field, building a new stadium in that area. And I'm curious, you guys have all been to games, multiple games. Honestly, you guys have all been to more games than I have. And so what do you guys think about this move here? Does this something that you're excited about for a new stadium? Are you sad to see Soldier Field go? Maybe both. Do you think they shouldn't do this? Like, just what are your thoughts are on this new stadium? Heidi, we'll start with you again.
Well, being from another country, to me, it's like there's no difference if I'm moving if I'm traveling to Chicago. There, it's the same to me if I have to go somewhere else to watch the game, because I've done it before. Like in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys, they don't play in Dallas, so you have to go there. And also in New York, you have to travel pretty far to go to the Giants Stadium. So to me, it's exactly the same. But of course, it's pretty exciting to have a bigger stadium with, you know, modern, state-of-the-art and everything. So to me, it's both. It's both, because being on the city and the surroundings and everything in Chicago and Soldier Field is very nice. But again, I wouldn't mind to go anywhere else about an hour or an hour and a half or to watch a game. So whatever happens, I'm okay with.
I think for me, I get the Bears fans that want to stay there, because you're in the city, I know that I never understand the argument that, oh, it can't be called the Chicago Bears. I'm sorry. But if like the San Francisco 49ers can play up in Santa Clara, you can still call them the Chicago Bears. But for me, at the start, I was thinking, no, Soldier, you feel like it's part of the Bears, but then you go to other stadiums. And I remember I worked in Pittsburgh for 3 months in the summer. And I got to go to Heinz Field, and I was like, okay, this is good. All the amenities are right there. There's a casino right beside it. You get to enjoy that. Then, what was it, 3 or so years ago when the Bears played at Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium in London. And I was like, okay, this is a legit stadium. This is what you want to feel like. Like, it was freezing cold outside. And I've mentioned this on our show before. It was freezing cold where everybody has jackets on, coats on. It was raining at the time. Everybody goes into the stadium and you can take your jackets off and everybody's just in their jerseys because it's warm in the stadium. And you have all the amenities. There's free, there's Wi-Fi there where it actually works. Like, at the end of the day, at some point in time, if you want to become a best-in-class organization, it starts with your facilities. Now, we've seen them improve Hallis Hall. Like, at the end of the day, Hallis Hall is not in Chicago. That's where the Bears are located. So at the end of the day, I don't have a problem. I've always said it before, is if they were able to reconstruct Soldier Field to be this massive stadium that was amazing, this first in class where people can tailgate if they want to tailgate, even if they don't have tickets to the game. The problem is a lot of people can't even do that. So I'm all for it. I know it's going to be a bit longer for a lot of folks to get to the games, but look, most people that are going to Bears games are leaving at 8, 9 a.m. anyway. So for me, I just think is you need to get with the times. We want to see this organization improve. And for me, this is the first step in, and well, maybe the second step after Hallis Hall, and actually improving the infrastructure around the organization. Because if you don't have that in place, it's very hard to in turn put in place a very good football team as well, because you need everything working hand in hand. And I think this is a good first step for the Bears. Now the whole thing is they just better not screw it up.
Andrew, what about your thoughts? You've been to a few stadiums around the U.S. So what is your perspective on the Bears potentially building a new one?
Yeah, I'm completely on board with Heidi and Kieran. Like, I think it's Soldier Field, while it's kind of sentimental, I'm probably not as connected to it sentimentally as, you know, others may be. You know, like, to Heidi's point, the, you know, the Giants and the Jets play in the Meadowlands, but they still show, like, the, you know, when they're on the TV, you know, the skyline of New York, you know, every time is the cutaway. So you can still show the lakefront. And yeah, it's just like, it's super exciting. Like, I kind of work in finance, so I'm kind of super pumped to see it from like a business perspective. You know, like, I think, JB, you've said on your show a couple of times, the Bears are the only team in the NFL that don't own their own stadium. And kind of comparing, you know, the facilities at Soldier Field, you know, compared to Jerry World, you know, it's just like they're so far apart. And you can see how, from a business perspective, how important that is, right? You know, owning your own stadium, you know, having all these sources of revenue, kind of casinos or hotels or bars and stuff, kind of all funneling back into the team. I think it's super important long term. And I don't really kind of fully know the implication, but I'm sure it kind of helps with, you know, attracting free agents and things like that. You know, if it's in a cool indoor stadium, people say, you know, Bears play bear weather football. They haven't kind of really done that for a long time. And I'm all in on, you know, giving us every chance to be successful, right? So, like, I like the idea of kind of Justin Field throwing bombs in a big indoor stadium.
Yeah, they're one of the few that don't own their stadium. There's others, like the Chargers don't own theirs. They rent from the Rams, and I don't know who owns New York Stadium or whatever, but, you know, they share that stadium. So, yeah, they're definitely few. Now, if they did, that would overall raise the value of their franchise value, which I think is probably what they're doing to set up to sell.
Which should be a reason why Bears fans want this to happen, because yeah, Everybody complains about the McCaskies. If you want the McCaskies to sell, this is a very important piece that needs to happen for them to actually sell. Otherwise, it's not going to be financially viable for them to actually do it.
Yeah, you want them to sell and then the new person to build the stadium because
Yeah.
You do not want the McCaskies to build the stadium because they will go cheap.
I would have let Ryan Pace build the stadium. I feel like he would have done a good job.
Yeah, sure. That would have been fine for him. I think just he probably should have stayed.
Just that, though, yeah.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, so the last full question. I'll give you guys a final thought round two, but last full question. I want to talk about this group in particular, why you're here. So the NFL, you know, when I was growing up, the NFL in my mind was like mostly an American game in terms of its appeal. And I think at some point in my early childhood, the NFL sort of overtook baseball. You know, growing up, the people talked about baseball as America's pastime. And I never really felt like that was true because football just had such a bigger appeal. Now, if you go back and watch games in the late 80s and 90s, they're not that much fun to watch. But I certainly liked them as a kid. And so to me, the football has always been the biggest game in the U.S. But you know, you had the World League where you had some European teams, you know, you had some efforts to try to play an occasional game outside of the U.S. But in recent years, they really have tried to add games outside of the U.S. There's an international series they've played in Mexico City. You know, there is a little bit more. So I want to hear from you guys, which I love the makeup here. We have Heidi from Mexico. We got Kieran from representing Europe, you know, and then, of course, Andrew, they're not going to Australia to play a game. And so I want to know from your guys' perspective, though, you know, you're just, you know, each a little further away from the U.S. and how it has in your lifetime changed and permeated where you're at and where you live and how that's grown. So, Heidi, let's start with our southern neighbor in Mexico.
Okay. Well, it's like it's pretty much like a phenomenon here because, of course, we have only one game in Mexico. And either if your favorite team is playing or not, everybody has to go. Everybody wants to go. So I know if the Bears come to Mexico, I don't think I'm going to be able to go and see them because it's almost impossible to get tickets, almost impossible. And even maybe it may be more expensive to watch them, to watch them in Mexico City than to go to a game somewhere else in Chicago or any other city in the US, which is pretty funny because how so? Because I don't live in Mexico City, and for a start, it's a plane ticket or a bus ticket. And to get tickets to a game in Estadio Azteca, any team, it's impossible. The tickets get sold in the first 3 minutes when they are available, 3 minutes or maybe less. So if I have a chance, I would try to, of course, because being there, just being there, your team playing in your hometown in your country must be crazy. But let's hope one day, every year is the same. We're going to have, maybe they're going to go, maybe they're going to come because the Raiders are playing the Bears and they go to the UK, right? And then this year and then another year and then another year and we're still waiting. Yeah, I hope soon I will be able to go to the Estadio Azteca, but I am okay if I don't because it's really difficult to get the tickets. I may go to Mexico City around the time either this time it's going to be the Cardinals, right? And which other? 49ers? Is it the 49ers and the Cardinals? Yeah, I think so. I may go to Mexico City and look around because there's a lot of things going on, NFL events going on. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much about it.
What about you, Kara? What's your perspective on the growth of the NFL in Europe, Ireland in particular, or just Europe in general? The international series, has that paid off for the NFL? Or is it more of opening up the streaming Game Pass, things like that?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of Game Pass and then the sports channels here. So we have Sky Sports here that basically have... they used to only have one channel and they'd pick like one game at the noon game, they'd pick one of the late games, and then they'd have like Thursday night football and Sunday night football as well. But then from there, they got a second on one of their other channels. They now show Red Zone as well. So most people watch that. But yeah, Game Pass was kind of a revelation for a lot of people because it meant that they got to watch the team that they wanted to inherit. Like I said, growing up in Dublin, you wouldn't see many jerseys around. Now you can't go into the city without seeing something, like whether it be, obviously, I think for the game, having high-profile players like Tom Brady, where a lot of people gravitated towards, you see a lot of Patriots fans, especially with a lot of an Irish contingent that live in Boston. But just in general in Europe, it's massive. Like, they're selling out 3-4 games in London every single year. And like Heidi said, it's impossible to get tickets for them. Like, you can get tickets if it's a reasonable matchup, like when it was like the Jets against the Jags. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. You can get tickets for it. But like the Bears game against the Raiders, I got tickets the day it opened and they were not very good tickets and I paid a lot of money for them. And then as I got closer to the game, I got offered different tickets that were closer. And I went to literally just get rid of the tickets, the other ones from what I paid, and literally took 30 seconds before somebody wanted them. Like, it's insane how quickly that does happen. And like, you're starting to see it now where there's what, 3 games in London, 1 in Munich. You saw like all the NFL announcement that they have the affiliate countries now for certain teams. That just makes me think they're just going to keep expanding. They'll have one in Spain. They'll have one in Germany. They'll have one in like Italy and France, because all over Europe, it's just so popular. It's the same with the NBA. Like, that just has become such a popular thing, and it's the accessibility. Like, growing up when you could only see the odd game or the highlights, or when it gets to like the Super Bowl, like everybody would do it. Like, people go out partying here for the Super Bowl. Like, every single club in Dublin is packed of people watching the Super Bowl, right? So it's always been big, but I think there's more, I guess, diehard fans now. And I guess with the increase in accessibility, the increase with social media and people being involved on that as well, kind of brings to it. And then also kind of, I guess, the podcast, to where you get to like listen to your favorite team rather than having to listen to national guys where you may have to listen to 6 episodes before they actually mention your team. So like there's things like that, but we see it here. Like, we get college football games. Like, I think it's Nebraska and Northwestern are playing in Dublin in September. And then it's like Army and Navy the following, or Notre Dame and Navy the following year. And I'm hoping it's only a matter of time before there's an NFL game in Dublin, because it would be absolute carnage here and it would be so much fun. I think any fan group that would be coming from the States to Dublin will realize just how much kind of there's a fandom over here. Like, everything with COVID, right? Nobody got to go out with their work colleagues, right? So I started a new job probably the July that COVID hit. And I only met my colleagues in person like 6 months ago, and didn't realize that every single person that's on my team supports a different NFL team. Hmm. Like, so it is massive. And like, where I notice the difference is like my little cousins that are like 4, 5, 6 are into a lot of the American sports as well as the kind of popular sports here. So I don't know about other parts of the world, but I think a lot of people know it here that the likes of the NBA and NFL are probably the two fastest growing sports in Europe, just because they're a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot more people involved in watching them. Like, we have an Irish league here where there's a bunch, like I played American football for my college here. Like, there's, and now I think when I played, there was like 6 or 7 teams. I think there's like 16 or 17 right now, and there's different leagues. So it's gotten very, very big. I know there's other ones that are in Germany and France have leagues there as well. And it's only a matter of time before you start to see some of those players kind of integrate in. I know there was one or two guys that from Ireland that declared for the NFL draft. I think one guy was a kicker, and I think he got a UDFA contract with the Panthers or something like that. And another guy went to the Saints. But you're going to start to see that, because it's just getting big to where, I guess, it's similar when we talk about kind of soccer for the American fans, that as it grows, you'll start seeing some of the premier athletes in those countries gravitate to the sports that they enjoy the most. And that's when you'll start to see guys from, I guess, go into those sports. Like, we always say, okay, why is USA not really, really good at soccer if they have this huge population, all these brilliant athletes? Because you see them in the NBA, you see them in the NHL, baseball and football. It's because, well, soccer wasn't that popular. But now you're with the, I think it's, that's the difference, right? So the Premier League is so big now in America that like all my cousins' friends will talk to me about it, and I'm like, oh, that's really cool that you get to see that. And I think it's just the vice versa with the NFL here, that when you get more accessibility to a sport that's interesting to watch, you're just going to see more of the fanfare, more people pick their teams, and it just becomes more fun. And I think in Europe especially, it's just become this crazy thing. Like, I don't think you can walk in a city in Europe now without seeing some jersey or hoodie. I said on the podcast, the weirdest one was I was walking down in one of the streets in Dublin probably 2 months ago, and I saw a dude with a Chase Claypool hoodie on. So like, it's fun just to be able to kind of talk to different people, talk about the game that I think a lot of people love now.
Awesome. Andrew, what about down under? To get all the way over there?
Yeah, never say never, JB, because I had a vague recollection, and the 2017 college season actually kicked off in Sydney. It was Stanford versus Rice. So there you go. There's been a college football game. But I do agree that NFL is unlikely. But I can speak, like, even in my time. So when I moved back to live in the United States in 2014, so I've been here, 8 years? And in that time, it kind of blows my mind how much NFL was taken off back in Australia. You know, before I kind of went, it was, you know, I was the diehard Bear fan, and there was a couple of other people that would follow Tom Brady, right? But now, like, every time I go back, there's, you know, different hats. You see every team. Whenever I'm coming back, like, the number one kind of gift request from friends and family, and interestingly enough, for a lot of kind of buddies who have just had kids, you know, and have little kids back home, like, hey, can you bring back, you know, a a Colts hat or a Bears bucket hat or a jersey. So it is blowing up, and the time difference makes the Sunday games tough because it's usually kind of bounces between 12 and 14 hours. But it actually works really well for like the afternoon and night games. So like I was back in Australia kind of over Christmas while the playoffs were on, and it was fantastic. Like the first game would start at like 11 a.m. and you'd go through to like 6 p.m. So like I was sitting there kind of watching that in 40 degrees when, you know, it's snowing in Green Bay and I'm kind of cheering for the 49ers. So it's definitely kind of taking off there. And to Kieran's point about players, like Australia seems to have kind of a monopoly on all the punters coming through college football into the So that's, there's actually a company, I forget exactly what it's called, but they specialize in, like, think about this for a target market. So they basically take Australian football players, not rugby, like Australian rules. It actually comes out of Gaelic football, which Kieran would know about. It's very much like the whole game is punting the whole time, kicking it around. They kind of take players out of high school that don't quite make it or aren't going to quite make the professional league and channel them to colleges in the US. I think it's called Ozpunt or something. I'd have to look it up. But they've been doing that for probably 10 years now, and I think is like the whole reason for that kind of funnel, because, you know, it makes sense for those guys. They're all getting, you know, signed on scholarships in Australia. And we have the kind of gridiron league back home. It's what I played in with my old roommate, Kieran. And, you know, there's more and more people starting to play that. Like when I was bouncing around that, it was a little bit of a joke, but we had a buddy who got picked up. Adam Gotsis is his name. He went to Georgia Tech on a full scholarship. Is the biggest human being who's ever, like, I know. but he got actually drafted in the second round by the Broncos the year they won the championship. So there are players at kind of skill positions and offensive and defensive lines start to filter their way into the NFL as well. There was the Philly won with Nick Foles. I remember they had the last pick in the NFL draft, and they took a flyer on some huge Australian rugby player that had, you know, never played NFL before, and now he just signed his first kind of like starting left tackle job, and he's the starting left tackle of that team. So it's definitely taking hold. More and more people are playing it back home, kind of getting filtered through the college system, and definitely kind of, you know, everyone kind of is watching it. So it's definitely well ingrained there. But I agree with you, the in-season game is looking, it's looking very unlikely unless someone invents a faster plane.
All right, guys, I really appreciate all of your time. I wanted to give you like a quick minute at the end here to just give a final thought. You can talk about the season or just your final thoughts on the Bears. Anywhere you want to go, just a quick wrap up though. Heidi.
Okay. Well, final thoughts, always positive ones coming from me. I'm giving my Bears winning around 8 games. I know people are very divided on this matter. I've seen people giving them 2 or 3 wins. I think they're going to win around 8 or 9 games, hopefully. And just as I said before, trust our new staff. And give them time and give them a chance to prove us wrong or right in any case. And very excited, as always, about about football season. I really miss football. That's it. I love my Bears.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing I would say is, just because it's become such a big thing over the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, is a plea for Bears fans to stop engaging with the national media that want to criticize Justin Fields. Like, listen to the local guys.
Yes.
It doesn't even have to be about Justin Fields. It has to be about the Bears. Like, you see, like, not the beat reporters, like Courtney Cronin talking to Robert Quinn, and he's saying he wants to stay with Chicago. But then because CBS wants to put out that Robert Quinn wants to leave, everybody starts believing that. Like, follow the people that do it every day for the Bears. Keep your trusted sources there. Like, stop freaking out over every little report. That's what I would like. And like Heidi says, I just can't wait for the season to start because I can't deal with much more of the negativity that comes from Bears fans, because my God, every day on Twitter, there's something new. Like, somebody like at me on for some other post, I'm like, oh my God, not again. But yeah, so Bears fans, calm down a little bit, stop reading all the criticism and interacting with that with Justin Fields, and let's just let the season play out.
Yeah. Andrew?
Well said. No, I guess thanks, JB, for the opportunity. This has been really fun, and it was lovely to meet you, Heidi, and you as well, Kieran. I look forward to kind of following you both. Heidi, your positive Bears tweets mixed in with a little bit of Mexican politics, and then I'll definitely follow you as well, Kieran. Okay.
To be fair, Heidi, I follow you for the Mexican politics.
I thought so.
It's been really fun, and just super pumped for the season to kick off. And I think, like everyone else here, I'm quietly confident that we will overachieve this year and kind of move the ball in the right direction. Looking forward to seeing some development.
All right. That was from my conversation back in May with Heidi, Kieran, and Andrew. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as I had when I was having that conversation. Listening back to it, I was just struck by how much I enjoyed talking to these three people. I really enjoy talking about the Bears, and I love it when someone comes from a little bit slightly different background than me. I think it's probably pretty important to realize that Chicago fandom is not geography based, and we come at this game from very different angles and for very different reasons, and you can find fans all over the world. And I just think that this is just one of the coolest things about podcasting, is that making connections with people all across the country and all across the globe. All three of these people and more people from around the world that I've met have really enriched my experience as a content creator and as a Bears fan, and I really thank them all for that. Join me next week. We're going to keep working through these conversations that I had. We've got some really great stuff planned. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll see you next week.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.